Hi, I'm Suzy Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Suzy Larson Live. It's only just a matter of welcome to Suzy Larson Live. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, I do this once in a while. Well, I'll do a show without a guest because I just feel like God has given me something to say. Today, I want to talk with you about bringing vitality back to your life and back to the body of Christ, bringing vitality where there's an energy, there's a purposefulness. And as I've been pondering this, thinking this, and really experiencing it in my own life, I really think it boils down to two things. One is deep rest, and two is purposeful faith. Deep rest and purposeful faith. I want to let you know that I'll be drawing a little bit from my book, Strong in Battle, not a lot, but a little bit, and from the companion journal, Soul Care for the Battle. So we're going to give away 5 book bundles with card packs. I'm feeling generous today. Haven't told Kev about this yet, but I can give a certain amount away before I have to run it by him. So he may hear this on the air, rub his temples, and then go, okay, because he loves you guys as much as I do. So 5 of you are going to get a book bundle card pack. And I want to say it's probably, I don't know, a $40 gift pack. So Soul Care for the Battle, Why the Humble Will Prevail. That's kind of it's a handbook on warfare and on battle and how to find your battle stance, how to remember who you are, remember who God is, how to discern the predictable schemes of the enemy. And then Soul Care for the Battle, it's a guided companion journal. You don't have to have the book to have the journal and vice versa, but they do kind of go nice together because whereas the book is sort of a handbook to help you engage and get through your battles victoriously, the journal is more like a spa moment at sea, you know, where you step away from the front lines, you care for your soul, you tend to your heart, you pay attention to the thoughts that you have on repeat. So again, 5 gift book bundles are going out the door, and the 10-pack card packs will go with those books. You can just text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. That's 877-933-2484. Okay, so bringing vitality back to your life and back to the church, deep rest and purposeful faith. I think when we get so exhausted, we lose perspective. And Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What also happens when we get exhausted is we squander time. And believe it or not, when we're running so hard, it's actually a recipe for apathy and passivity in the spiritual realm, where you let go of promises. You quit contending for promises. You lose sight of the vision for what God has promised you. And Scripture says, without a vision, the people perish. Without a vision, people cast off restraint. So when you have a vision, you practice restraint. You say no to these lesser things so you can say yes to the bigger thing. And this is why the enemy wants to constantly bait us into a busyness that drains us, because he wants us to miss out on the purpose and the fulfillment that trains us when we are fully engaged in the purposes of God. So I want to look at the Israelites. When they were in Egypt as slaves, they suffered back-breaking labor. They were treated horrendously. They were regularly beaten. They probably had parasites. I mean, try to imagine the food they ate and how merciless the leadership was in the way they drove these Israelites into the ground. They were under oppression, you know, and they cried out to God. And as Scripture says, when we cry out to God, our cry reaches His ears. Their cry reached His ears. He did something about it. And you need to know, when you cry out to God, your cry reaches His ears, and He does something about it. I think that's just so powerful. Let that encourage you today. He sent them Moses. He prepared hearts. He made a way. Well, I was reading a book on Sabbath a couple months ago, and the author was talking about how under this back-breaking slave labor, I mean, this had got baked into their DNA. They'd been there so long, and it was so ruthless and horrendous, so that when God was getting ready to emancipate them from Egypt and to treat them and set them free, to treat them as free people and to lead them into the promised land, this author said that in the emancipation, that God also was weaving into the new narrative a rhythm of rest, an element of rest. He talked immediately about the Sabbath, about that there would be a rhythm because they were so used to the work, the backbreaking labor at great cost to them and great benefits to the Egyptians. It was this unjust system, and God wanted to lead them into a divine system of rhythm, of rest, and of work. And I read, who was it? Tom Phillips, we had him on recently, but he said, you know, rest isn't just sitting there. Rest means you're trusting God. And I would say rest is an act of warfare. It's an act of faith because you're making a declaration, more rests on God's shoulders than on mine. What's so amazing about that story is when I think about all that they endured, and I can't even imagine. I mean, you think about when you've gone through a lot, just the stress that you endure, it affects your cells. It affects your health. I mean, stress is a leading cause of disease and breakdown in the body. Try to imagine the stress that they were under. It was physical stress. It was emotional trauma and stress, wondering if you're going to move wrong or if you're going to find a guard that's in a bad mood and is about to beat you or someone you love. That's a lot of stress. So their bodies were broken down. I'm sure their immunities were broken down. And yet when God established that it was time to set them free, and remember the angel of death was going to come through the land and kill the firstborns of the Egyptians, he told them to go into their homes and put the blood of the lamb over the mantle, which, as you know, is a symbol of the blood of our lamb, the Lord Jesus. This place of hiddenness in God protected them from the angel of death and got them ready, as that author said, to be emancipated. But in another place in Psalms, it says, when they left Egypt, there wasn't a feeble one among them. How is that possible? How is that possible? From young to old, there wasn't a feeble one among them. Well, I believe they were healed in those homes. So as they tucked themselves under God's wing, as they put the blood of the lamb over the mantle, as really a prophetic declaration of what was to come in future generations, imagine them being in there with their feeble bodies, their broken bodies, their stressed bodies, and they were healed. So not only did God hear their cry, he moved on their behalf. He sent them Moses. He made a way. He turned the heart of this hardened Pharaoh over to basically say, go. And they were loaded down with silver and gold, and there wasn't a feeble one among them. He parted the Red Sea, but that very same sea drowned the Egyptians. Over and over again, they saw miracle upon miracle upon miracle. And just the other day, I was reading in Hebrews 4 about the rest that God brings for his people. And it says, you should be kind of fearful that you're not going to enter the rest because not everybody automatically enters the rest. This is my paraphrase, but it said that the Israelites did not, they failed to enter the rest because they didn't have faith in their hearts. And whenever something like that in scripture jumps out at me, I have got to look at it in multiple translations. So I looked it up in the Amplified version, and it said something the effect that they didn't enter the rest because God's message of redemption was not met by faith. Wow. God's message of redemption was not met by faith. So their cry reached his ears. He did something about it. He did more than something. He made a way where there was no way. He loaded them down with silver and gold. He healed their bodies. He provided a way. And when the enemy chased them, he opened up the sea and then closed the sea again so their enemy was swallowed up. And yet, you know the story. The Israelites wandered in the wilderness. So God sent a message. He sent provision. He provided action so that they could be free, but their hearts were not full of faith. And my hubby and I were talking the other morning and just going, how many times has our cry reached God's ears? We've cried out to God, and our cry reached his ears, and he did something about it. And he sent provision, and he sent a message of direction or protection. But our hearts were so busy, so distracted, so tired, that message was not met by faith. Doesn't it kind of remind you of the parable of the seeds? Some of the seeds fall on the hardened footpath. Some of the seeds fall on shallow soil, that there's an excitement right when God speaks, but it springs up. But as soon as hardship comes, it dries up because there's no depth. And there's other soil that's got, you know, God is one thing, but so are the pursuit of wealth and the cares of this world. So it chokes out the one thing. I mean, I wonder how often God brings provision for us, but it's not met by faith. I believe with all my heart that if we want vitality to come back to our hearts and our minds and our souls, we've got to know how to access this deep rest in God and this purposeful faith in Him and His promises. So as we think about the Israelites and all that God did, and yet Egypt was so baked into their narrative that they automatically, in the face of one miracle after another, defaulted to complaints, to groaning, to complaining, groaning, grumbling, all of that. In fact, there's a passage in the Psalms, again, my paraphrase, but it says something to the effect of, the Israelites refused to enter the promised land because they couldn't believe God's promise to love and care for them. So they grumbled in their tents and refused to obey the Lord. They crawled into the smallness of their circumstance. They refused to believe that there was a promise written over their lives, that there was a promised land ahead of them. They refused it, and they rejected it. So they crawled into the smallness of their circumstances and then blamed God for the lack of promise written over their life. They weren't lacking promise. They weren't lacking provision. They weren't lacking the presence of God and His assurance to go with them every step of the way. He'd already told them He was going with them every step of the way. What they were lacking is faith. We need faith. We need to ask God, give me a gift of faith. So how do we cultivate faith? If it's a gift, is there a way to cultivate it in our lives? I believe there is. And we'll talk about that next. I'm Susie Larson, and we're giving away 5 book bundles today. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. Just text the word book, 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. This is a Faith Radio produced podcast. You can find out more about Faith Radio and get some really fun goodies if you sign up for our free welcome pack at myfaithradio.com. Welcome back to Susie Larson Live. I'm Susie Larson, and we do this once in a while where I have no guest sometimes just because it's you and me, and we're just going to have some time together. I want to share what the Lord has put on my heart. And today I want to talk with you about vitality, returning to your life and to the body of Christ. And I really believe vitality will come. And vitality really is that kind of the energized life pulsing, coursing through your veins and through your vision, through your heart, through your steps, because you're full of life. And I really believe we need that. And God wants to do that for us in this next season. And I also believe it comes from a state of deep rest and purposeful faith. And real quick, before I dig into more teaching, I want to remind you, we're giving away, Kevin and I, even though he doesn't know yet, but maybe by this segment, he will know because he'll be listening. Like I said, he lets me give away certain amounts up to a limit, right? And so I think I can do this. 5 book bundles of Strong in Battle, Why the Humble Will Prevail, and Soul Care for the Battle. It's a guided companion journal. I love this journal. It's just an opportunity for you to sit with God, to exhale, to care for your soul. It's like you step away from the battle line for a little bit, listen to what the Lord has to say, and just ponder, and it's just sort of helps you get there. So 5 book bundles with the 10-pack of cards. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. So last segment, we were talking about the emancipation of the Israelites from Egypt into the wilderness, heading to the promised land, and how God had performed one miracle after another. And yet in Hebrews 4, it says they failed to enter the rest of God because they didn't have faith in their hearts. And as I'd mentioned, when a passage jumps out at me, I like to read it in multiple translations just to sort of look at it from different angles. So I looked it up in the Amplified, and it's my paraphrase because I forgot to grab my Amplified Bible down here in studio, but it said something to the degree that the message and God's provision that came at them was not met by faith. So God made provision based on the cry of their hearts, but when the provision came, it wasn't met by faith, so it fell on the ground. Now I want to just look at that again. They were under tyrannical leadership, back-breaking slave labor. They groaned. They cried out to God, and their cry reached His ears. God moved. He made a way. He sent Moses. He showed His miracles one after another. He allowed Pharaoh's heart to harden, but eventually Pharaoh's heart opened up and was ready to let these people go. Then they were loaded down with silver and gold, And before they left, the night before they left, when the angel of death was visiting the land, God's people were instructed to go into their homes and put the blood over the mantle, which really just so speaks of the blood of the Lamb of God, right? It was a prophetic foretelling. What's amazing to me is I believe those people were healed. You know that they had parasites, they had injuries, they had bad backs and terrible feet and calluses and probably had skin diseases. They were under chronic stress, ill treatment. How do you not have breakdown in your health? You know, young to old, and yet scripture says there was not a feeble one among them. So God, you know, he doesn't do anything halfway. He made provision for them. And when he showed himself strong on their behalf time and time again, they were so quick to complain, so quick to default to that complaining mentality. You know, they faced the Red Sea, and over again, they faced these situations, and their default response is, have you brought us out here to die? It was better in Egypt, which we get these rose-colored glasses in times of transition. It was not better in Egypt. They remembered steak dinners, you know, and easy loungers or something, and I'm like, it was not like that. Remember, your cries reached God's ears. But it brings me back to something that I've referenced on the show before. My friend Maria said to me, in my healing process, she said, Susie, unless your default instinctive thought about God is this, you need healing and to renew your thoughts. And the thought is, when you think about God, unless you just know in your knower that only goodness and mercy are allowed to follow you, if you think something different of God than that, then something in you needs to be healed and something in your thinking needs to be realigned. And the thing is, even though the Israelites were delivered out of Egypt, Egypt was still baked in to them. And when we want to get to a place, we think sometimes, all I need is relief. But they got relief from slave labor, but they still were with themselves, right? We've all walked through things that have sort of baked in messages that need to be removed and extracted from our stories. And so often it goes and boils down to our thoughts about God, our thoughts about ourselves. And we've got to just know that there are times God will allow us to encounter things to show us what's in our hearts. He knows what's in our hearts, but we need to see what's in our hearts. And if you've followed me and you've listened to the show, you know last year was a pretty rough year for me. I had two major oral surgeries that were important in dealing with Lyme in the jawbone, but they really triggered some major problems for me with TMJ and ear ringing and sleep. And it was extremely hard for a stretch there. I mean, it took all of my strength to get what I needed to get through my shows each day. And I was crying out to God. I mean, I was sleeping for long stretches, 2 hours a night, hard to function. And then when I would not get sleep, the inflammatory response would create all kinds of neurological issues. And, you know, they brainwash people by depriving them of sleep. It's a form of torture, so it's no small thing. And it is something I've contended for. I'm finally sleeping. But I want to tell you, if you struggle with insomnia, do not give up, because there's precedence in Scripture for you to have that promise fulfilled in the land of the living, that he grants sleep to those he loves. He loves you. Even at night, my heart instructs me. You know what? God wired our bodies to need rest and sleep, and sleep is a huge part of having vitality. So this is just a side note. I digress, but I just got to say it. Do not give up. I'm telling you, I'm like a bulldog about this, because the sleep thing has been rough my whole adult life. I'm finally sleeping. I do take a handful of supplements at night, and I really believe, you know, by the over under the care of my doctors, I believe there'll be a day I won't need those. But they are telling me that I'm kind of fulfilling a process in my body that's been lacking. I'm kind of helping my body get reset. I don't even care. I'm sleeping. I'm dreaming. And I wake up and I have energy. So I'm saying to you, be feisty and do not give up hope about that. But I will tell you, before I started sleeping, when I was in the thick of that battle, and you know this if you know me, I'm an empath and I'm a very sensitive spirit and I'm an intercessor by nature. And I've been watching the news one night. Hard to do that before you go to bed when you don't sleep, right? But I'd saw several acts of senseless violence on innocent, unsuspecting people, where they just showed clips of someone standing at a bus stop or whatever. And I'm not going to repeat it because I don't want the image in your head, but it just cut so deep. You know, as someone, as a child who was jumped and beaten, anytime I see someone punched or anything, I just feel it into my, you know, bones. It just upset me so much. And so I went to bed crying out to God, going, how long, God, how long till you put a firewall between the wicked and the weak, till you protect the vulnerable and cut off the strength of the wicked. Psalm 75:10 says, I will cut off the strength of the wicked and increase the power of the godly. And the next morning I woke up, which was kind of I used that term loosely because I didn't sleep, and I was depressed, I was discouraged, and I was lamenting to God for the sake of those families that I saw on the news and for myself. And the Lord led me to Jeremiah 15, and what's so kind of God is he gave words to what I was feeling. He's like, here's how you feel. And I felt his compassion. And in the passage, I'm going to read it from the Amplified Classic Version, because Jeremiah was lamenting to God, why is my pain so perpetual, my wound incurable, refusing to be healed? Will you indeed be to me like a deceitful brook, like waters that fail and are uncertain? Another translation was like an unseasonable brook. And prior to this, he's like, why do the wicked get to prosper? And I'm your child. Why am I suffering along with them? And why won't I be healed? Now, the Amplified Classic Version of God's response is just powerful. He says, therefore, thus says the Lord to Jeremiah, if you return to me and give up this mistaken tone of distrust and despair, then I will give you a settled place of quiet and safety, and you will be my minister. Listen to this. If you separate the precious from the vile, another translation is the precious from the worthless, but this is how it breaks down. Cleansing your own heart from unworthy and unwarranted suspicions concerning God's faithfulness, then you shall be my mouthpiece. Do not yield to them. Another translation, do not let them influence you. You influence them. Now, I've read that passage a lot of times as far as extract the precious from the vile and you'll be my spokesman. What I'd never really seen before until I saw it in the expanded version in the Amplified Classic is extracting the precious in my own soul from the worthless, cleansing my own heart from unworthy, unwarranted suspicions concerning God's faithfulness. Wow, if I give up this mistaken tone of distrust and despair, then I will again settle into a place of safety. We don't realize how exhausting it is to accuse God. It's wrong to accuse God. It hurts us and it dishonors Him. Only goodness and mercy follow us. Only good gifts come from His hand. And the enemy knows his time is short, and he's going to work relentlessly to try to stand in the way of God's goodness, of who He is in His character, of getting after our identity. And my hubby and I were just talking about this morning. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God has put a period at the end of the sentences regarding our identity and our eternity. Period. It's finished. Your identity is secure. Your eternity is secure if you're in Christ. But the enemy will work tirelessly to go after your identity and to make you be so earthbound you're not even thinking about eternity. And one of the ways that we lose vitality is when we accuse God of things for which He's not guilty. And for me, I wept when I read this passage. I sat with God and repented with my whole heart. It was one thing to extract the precious from the worthless when you watch the news. Like, where's the redeeming qualities? It's good to look for the goodness amidst the bad. And if you can do that, you will become a spokesman for God. But the real work is in your heart. Extracting the precious from the worthless, giving up a mistaken tone of distrust. You want to find peace again? You want to find rest again? Search your heart, and if there are places in you that you're accusing God, you're not trusting Him, deal with those places, and He will bring you to a place of quiet and safety. And guess what? He will make you His spokesman. You will open your mouth, and He will fill it with good things. We're going to pause here. We're going to keep talking about vitality. If you want in on the drawing, text the word book to 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute.
Come again.
Welcome back to Susie Larson Live. I'm Susie Larson, and today I don't have a guest. In fact, I do. You're my special guest, but I'm not interviewing anybody today. Once in a while, I just take the hour because I've got something that's on my heart to share that I hope and pray will nourish your soul and encourage your spirit. And today I want to talk about getting vitality back, vitality in your soul and vitality in the body of Christ. And something God's been speaking to me about, just really impressing upon my heart, is that we come upon vitality through two things: deep rest and purposeful faith. So we've been looking at the Israelites and how they failed to enter the rest in spite of the fact that they cried out to God. So I want to, again, just revisit the story from a 30,000-foot view and maybe look at what we can learn from them. Because here they were slaves and in Egypt, and they cried out to God, and their cry reached His ears, and He moved. heaven and earth to deliver them. And he sent them Moses, and he had a plan, and he had a purpose. And even though Pharaoh had a hard heart, and even though God hardened Pharaoh's heart for the sake of God's glory, he was giving him over to the hardness of his heart. But he performed one miracle after another. And it was Ruth Haley Barton wrote about in the emancipation of the Israelites from Egypt through the wilderness into the promised land, God instituted Sabbath rest. Like he knew that slave labor had been baked into their souls. And he was saying, you're under a new economy now. Before, it was all cost to you, all benefit to the Egyptians. Not anymore. You're going to live under the shadow of my wing. And rest is going to be a part of it. 6 days you're going to work, and on the seventh day you're going to rest. Now, this isn't about legalism about Sabbath, but I'm talking about a Sabbath mindset. I do think, and we're slowly but surely getting better and better at making a really clear distinction for us between our Sabbath day and our work day. In fact, one of the other books I've read on Sabbath said it's ideal for you to maybe do your paid work for 5 days, use your sixth day to get stuff done around the house, and then turn it off. I think it was John Mark Comer who said they light a candle on Saturday night. The screens go off, they're done working, and Sabbath has begun. I'm telling you, I think it's worth looking into making a clear distinction between work and rest. But I even want to just take it further as far as a rest mindset. And to get vitality back in the soul is to look at some of the things that hinder vitality. And exhaustion is one of them, but so is passivity and apathy. That's why I'm saying deep rest and purposeful faith will just shoot adrenaline and faith and power and purposefulness back into your soul. We're going to address passivity and apathy in just a little bit, but I want to hang with this deep rest for a moment. As I said, one of the things that exhausts us is accusing God of things that he's not guilty of. That will be exhausting to you because it's like you're getting your body and your soul to do something it wasn't made to do. I remember Dr. Troy, who joins me on the show every month, talked about identity. And he says, when you think self-berating thoughts, insecure thoughts, rejection thoughts, it's like you have one foot on the gas and one foot on the brake. You're grinding your gears and your body's not made for that because your body's wired for love. Well, we are image bearers of God. We reflect his image. So to accuse him of things that he's not guilty of will be so detrimental to your soul because he's God. He's a good father and a righteous judge. Now, that's not to say you're not going to go through seasons where you wonder, where are you and what are you doing and why are you allowing this? But that is when and why we need to keep a close watch on our hearts. And I told the story in the last segment how I was having a moment like that not too long ago. I don't know, was it a couple months ago? And I was lamenting to God because I hadn't been sleeping. I was recovering from a surgery that was causing all kinds of trouble. And I was watching some of the bad news, and it was getting to my heart. I care so much about the vulnerable and grieve so deeply about how they so often suffer when lawlessness is allowed to prevail. And God led me to Jeremiah 15. I was lamenting, going, why do the wicked prosper? And why aren't there more healings in the body of Christ, Lord? There's so many people suffering, and I'm one of them. And I want healing. I can't function on 2 hours of sleep. I'm telling him all these things as if he didn't know them. But we're called to cry out to him, right? And the Lord led me to Jeremiah 15. And it was so sweet because it was like he gave words to what I was feeling. And I read this last segment, but I want you to hear it again. Because I'd read the passage in Jeremiah many times in years past, that if you extract the precious from the vial, you will be my spokesman. I've read that before out of context, and I've always thought that was a powerful thought that, you know, so often we can see the glass half full, we can see the evil, we can bend towards that and highlight that, but extracting the precious from the worthless is a skill and a gift, and it requires discernment and kind of an intentionality. I think that should be our goal. But in this situation, as I looked at it closer in context, and then I read it in several translations, it was really calling me to extract the precious from the worthless in my own attitudes and mindsets. So I want you to hear this one more time again, all right? It's Jeremiah 15, and I'm reading from the Amplified Classic. So Jeremiah at this point had lamented to God, going, where are you? Why do the wicked prosper? And why do I suffer as much as them? You've called me to be your spokesman, and yet I'm hurting and suffering as much as they are, along with them. Like, why is there not a distinction? Why is my pain perpetual, my wound incurable, he says, refusing to be healed? Will you indeed be to me like a deceitful brook, like waters that fail and are uncertain? Therefore, thus says the Lord to Jeremiah, if you return to me and give up this mistaken tone of distrust and despair, then I will again give you a settled place of quiet and safety. Sometimes we drift and we don't even know it. And he's like, return to me. We drift when we accuse God. We actually turn our back on him when we accuse him. If you return to me and give up this mistaken tone of distrust and despair, I will again give you a settled place of quiet and safety, and you'll be my spokesman, my minister. If you separate the precious from the vile, and look how its expanded version says this, cleansing your own heart from unworthy and unwarranted suspicions concerning God's faithfulness, then you will be my mouthpiece. Do not yield to them. Let them return to you. In other words, don't let them influence you. You influence them. And he says, if you're able to deal with your heart at that level, extracting the precious from the worthless, which means keep me forefront in your heart and mind, keep my goodness always on the throne, never up for grabs, then you will see me for who I am and you'll discern situations for how they are, because it's the pure in heart that see God. He goes on to say, if you do that, I will make you to this people a fortified bronze wall. They'll fight against you, but they're not going to prevail over you. For I am with you to save and deliver you, says the Lord. Here's the thing. If the enemy can get you to doubt God's goodness and doubt your identity, you're going to be weak in battle. If the enemy can get away with getting you to accuse God, you're going to lose your footing in battle. And that's why God's good, whether we think he is or not. That doesn't change. He's always still good. He's better than we know. And someday when he comes for us and we will be like him because we will see him as he is, we're going to realize he's far better than we ever even imagined. He's good. That's it, period. But if we lose sight of that goodness, we lose footing in battle. And then the enemy gets a foothold. And the thing is, God needs spokespersons. He needs people who say, I'm not going to doubt who you are. I'm not going to doubt for a minute that you're good. And that really does have something to do with our fatigue level. You want hope to rise up in your heart again, I would say, deal with your heart about what you think about God. Was it Spurgeon or Tozer? I think Spurgeon, who said, what comes to mind when you think about God? Well, that's the most important thing about you. And it's just absolutely true. So talking about rest, deal with your heart, but also deal with your pace, because we lose vitality when we've got the pedal to the metal all the time and there's no distinction between work and rest. I want you to get a vision for vitality, returning to your health and to your spirit, to your spiritual life, your emotional, physical, vocational life. Look at your life and see, is there a distinction between work and rest? And then are there moments in your day where you're able to step away? I mean, sometimes you maybe need to just go sit out in your car if your job allows, put your head back and put on the Abide app for 15 minutes. I was doing that for a while when I wasn't getting sleep, and a little short nap worked wonders for me. Now that I'm feeling better, instead of a nap, I walk on my treadmill for a half hour. If you can get out and go for a walk, but there's a distinction. So rest isn't just sitting still. It's stepping away from the rat race and engaging with God for a moment. Some of you need a nap. Some of you need a walk. But all of us need distinctions between our work life and our rest life. And remember, drifting is exhausting. As we stay super close to God, we'll hear his voice and we will have vitality in our steps. In Malachi, God says, you've said terrible things about me. And they're like, what do you mean? What have we said? And he says, you've said, what's the use in serving God? What have we gained by obeying his commands or trying to show the Lord of heaven's armies we're sorry from our sins? From now on, we're going to call the arrogant blessed. For those who do evil get rich, and those who dare God to punish them suffer no harm. And he's like, return to me, and I'll return to you. And earlier, they're like, what do you mean return? How can we return if we've never left? Their hearts had shifted from God's goodness, and so they were far drifted. And so God is saying, come back. And they're like, they're so arrogant and so self-righteous. They're like, we never left. Well, yes, they had, because they were at a posture to say, what is the use in serving God? What do we gain by obeying him? In fact, we're going to take it even further. The ruthless and the wicked get away with anything, and God does nothing about it. He's not good, and he's not righteous and just. That was a problem. And so then, but listen to this, those who feared the Lord, well, they spoke with one another, and the Lord listened to what they had to say. So as we are talking with each other, sincerely wrestling out our faith and leaning in, God is so taken with our sincere hearts to wrestle for a perspective of his goodness that he listens in and he's in our midst. And it says, in his presence, a scroll of remembrance was written to record the names of those who feared him and always thought about the honor of his name. He says, they will be my people, says the Lord of heaven's armies. One day when I act in judgment, they will be my own special treasure. I will spare them as a father spares his obedient child. And listen to this. Then once again, you will see the difference between the righteous and the wicked, a distinction between those who serve and fear God and those who don't. The Lord of Heaven's army says this, the day of judgment's coming, burning like a furnace. On that day, the arrogant and the wicked, well, they're going to get what's coming. They'll be burned up like straw. They'll be consumed, roots, branches, and all. But listen to this, but for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. You'll go free, leaping with joy like calves led out to pasture. On that day when I act, you will tread on the wicked as if they were dust under your feet, says the Lord of Heaven's armies. You know, the lines, they might be blurred on earth, but let me tell you what, friend, there's perfect clarity in heaven. The attitudes of our hearts, the posture of our souls before God, do we revere him? Do we honor him? Do we keep first, do we fight, you know, keep first and foremost his goodness in the center of our mindset? Have we cultivated a heart of expectancy where we're starting to count on his goodness? Because that's when vitality is going to return to your heart. When you start to know such a deep, deep rest and trust in him, or the enemy taunts you and accuses God and you're like, nope, I'm not moving from this place. My God is good. His promises are true. And he's always going to make a way for me. Trust him, friend. We're going to pause here. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about deep rest and a lot more about purposeful faith. You can enter the drawing by texting 877-933-2484. Back in a minute. Faith Radio podcasts are produced by the listener-supported ministry of Faith Radio. If you're interested in becoming a team member, a donor to this ministry, you can support the podcast anytime and donate at myfaithradio.com. You're the only one I'm after. Spirit, come in power. I just want you. Welcome back to Susie Larson Live. I'm Susie Larson, and we've been talking today about bringing vitality back to our lives and thus to the body of Christ. I'm just trying to imagine every one of us experiencing this burst of vitality, of new and fresh life springing up, and then collectively it just bursting forth that people look at us and want to know what it is that we have. How do we get there? Well, I'm proposing that it's two significant aspects in our life, deep rest and purposeful faith. And this hour we've been looking together at the Israelites and what we can learn about their emancipation from Egypt out of slavery into the wilderness, and how Romans 4 said they never fully entered the rest or even the promised place because the message of God's provision was not met by faith. That really rocked my world. And I read that in Hebrews 4, but I read it in several translations. Because you can read something over and over again and it doesn't sink in. And that's why I'm always asking God, when I'm opening up your word, I'm opening up your mouth. Don't let me miss it. Well, the idea that they cried out to God and their cry reached his ears and God moved heaven and earth to set a nation free, that they would be emancipated from Egypt. And he talked about Sabbath rest being woven into this new economy where they were going to rest. They were going to know God's provision. They were going to work. But they failed to enter it because they did not let the trauma of their past be healed. They refused to trust this was a new day. And how many times have our cries met God's ears, reached God's ears? He brought provision. He brought purpose. And we shrugged it away because we were too busy. And I submit to you that deep rest doesn't happen when we're running too fast and too hard. A lot of times we think God's not speaking. And the thing is, he's speaking. We're just so busy, we're not listening. Sometimes we're in a season of silence. And if you're earnestly seeking God and listening and fasting and praying, and he's not speaking, trust me, friend, he's training you up for greatness. But other times we can just easily say he's not speaking, but it's the fact that we're not listening. And my hubby and I were just pondering how many times, because we have a very active prayer life, how many times have we prayed and prayed and prayed and God brought messengers of direction, of healing, of provision. But because we weren't in a posture of faith, we didn't receive it. I mean, think about the parable of the soils. how the Word of God is living and active and powerful. It's not, the Bible isn't just old news. It's now news. It's super good news. And His Word is living and active and powerful. And when a seed goes out, sometimes it falls on the hardened footpath. Sometimes it falls on shallow soil. So you might get an initial sprout, but life gets hard and the sprout gets devoured. Sometimes it falls on a soil that's somewhat cultivated, but it's crowded with thickets and weeds that are the cares of this life, the pursuit of wealth, pride in our achievements. So God is just one among many things. But when you have soil that's cultivated, when you're creating an atmosphere for growth in your life and the seed then gets in, it can produce 30, 60 to 100 times what's planted. What is more important than getting a word from God? What's more important than living for God? We can't please Him without faith, but I don't know that we can hear Him without rest. That's why I'm saying if you want vitality to come back to your health, to your life, these two things must be present: deep rest and purposeful faith. Ask God to show you how to practice faith today. Practice in the little things, the things that you're tempted to not trust Him in, the things you're tempted to strive in. And maybe you've heard me break down this passage before, but it really is perfect for this message today. So I'm going to do it again. Plus, I think we forget so often. We have air amnesia. We forget things. So it's good to hear Him again. Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth. Another translation, cease striving and know that I am God. I'll be exalted in the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth. Be still, cease striving means several things. It means to let go, sink down, relax, and in some cases, be quiet. Now, I think if you want to apply this in a really practical way, look at the areas of your life where you try to force and preempt an outcome because you don't think God's going to come through for you. Maybe you're the single mom and you're tempted to get a third job because you can't make ends meet, but you don't sense a peace. You don't sense that's God's will for you, but you're tempted to strive. And God understands. He has so much compassion. You are one of today's superheroes, let me tell you. And it may feel, if you're especially hyper-responsible, irresponsible, to let go, sink down, relax, and sometimes be quiet. I think God wants us to be quiet when we become like the Israelites, when we're groaning, grumbling, and complaining. When you have so much angst in your heart that the words that you say are in direct conflict with the Word of God, it's better to be quiet and then deal with your heart, as we were talking about last segment. I actually kind of think that's why Joshua forced the next generation of Israelites, the ones that actually got to enter the Promised Land, when they were going to take out Jericho, they had to be quiet for the first 6 rounds around the walls of Jericho. Don't say a word. Don't say a word. But then when I tell you, shout. That, to me, is a perfect picture of deep rest and purposeful faith. Grumbling and complaining is noise. But silence before God, practicing restraint, being silent in the presence of God, going, you are God and I am not. You see me. You see my situation. You're going to intervene. And then He's like, okay, you were on the same page now. When I tell you, shout. Don't you love that? I want to get up and shout right now, just thinking about it. Deep rest and purposeful faith. So maybe you're somebody who's getting attacked at work and your reputation's being maligned. Let go. Sink down. Relax. Be quiet. And then that know He is God, the word know is encounter Him in an experiential way. So for the single mom, know Him and encounter Him as your provider. For the person at work, know Him and encounter Him as your defender. I want you to think about the redemptive names of God. Jehovah Nissi, I think that one is my banner. Jehovah Shalom is my peace and my wholeness. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Jehovah Rapha, my healer. He is all that we need. He is everything. And if we can start to develop an ebb and flow to our actual physical lives where there's distinct times of rest from our labors, if we can develop an ebb and flow in our spiritual lives where there's some talking, but there's also some listening, where there's an ebb to the flow, where you're not just always working for God, you're spending a lot of time walking with God, you'll start to know that deep rest. You'll know when to get up and run, and you'll know when to sit down and be quiet and find your strength in Him. Deep rest. It's a gift from God. Cease striving and know that He is God. In fact, I challenge you right now, friend, to consider the places in your life you're tempted. To strive, that's your place to let go. And letting go isn't irresponsible, like, I'm just not going to think about it. I'm just going to trust God. That's kind of an abdicating responsibility. There's an active faith involved in letting go, in the truest sense of the word, where you're not just taking your hands off it, because that is irresponsible. But to say, God, I've got children to provide for, or I need a job to provide for my family, or whatever. I want my health so I can show up in life. I'm actively transferring this over to You. I'm giving it to You, and I'm sending my roots down in Your love. And I'm going to use this time to ponder Your love, to know Your love, to change my mind about Your goodness. I'm going to use this time to let Your Spirit shine a light in my soul and show me the places I'm accusing You of things that You're not guilty of. And those accusations belong to the enemy, not to You. That's an active participation of letting go. That's so different than irresponsibly going, I'm just not going to think about it. That's deep rest. And then purposeful faith. This may sound cliche, friend, but it is true that for every problem you face, there's a promise with Your name on it. I remember when I'd lost expectancy as a young mom, when we had so much medical debt and I'm battling that wretched disease and three little boys, and I was tucking Jake, my oldest, in for saying bedtime prayers, and he folded his hands and he scrunched his eyes and he's just smiling in his face. He's like, Jesus, thank You for my dinosaur bedroom. I love it so much. Thank You for the bright pillowcase and bedspread and for my bright green walls and the dinosaur posters on the walls. And I'm looking around at this drab paint, this beat up old hand-me-down bedspread. And I'm like, what? And I said, honey, what you talking about? And he says, well, I've been praying about it and asking God. And He said yes to my dinosaur bedroom. So I thought I would just get a head start and thank Him now, because I just know I'm going to love it. His faith confronted me, because the truth is I'd lost expectancy that God was actively involved in our story. But because of His childlike faith, I opened my eyes and I became alert, going, I want to be on the watch out. I want Your provision to be met by faith. And I noticed, I went garage sailing with a friend and found brand new dinosaur bedspreads. I told my hubby about this plan and he kept his eyes open and found a sale on lime green paint. And before you know it, Jake had a dinosaur bedroom that cost us almost nothing, and it was bright and beautiful and perfect. And I say all that to say, you want vitality to come to your soul, cultivate a heart of expectancy so that when your cry reaches God's ears, He activates angels on your behalf. He activates answers that are on their way to you. So He finds you in a posture of waiting, of readiness, of expectancy. So when the provision comes, it's met by faith. Think about this. Their cry reached His ears. They were getting ready to be emancipated out of Egypt to take a promised land ordained by God, promised by God. He didn't fall on His promise. They failed to receive the promise because there was no faith in their hearts. This is a full-time job, friends, to cultivate a heart of rest and to activate purposeful faith. I pray with all my heart that you find encouragement here today and you deal with your heart. You deal with your heart so you have that kind of soil. You've pulled up the weeds, you've planted good seeds, you've pulled up all the boulders, and that soil is ready for a harvest. Remember, those who sow in tears, you're sowing when everything's falling apart, you're so purposeful, you're like, I'm still going to sow seeds of faith, will reap with shouts of joy. They weep as they plant their seed, but they rejoice as they return with a harvest in their arms. God is faithful, friend. It is impossible for Him to fail you. I sure love and appreciate you. I pray you found some encouragement here. Remember, we're giving away 5 book bundles. Thanks to Kevin, even though he doesn't know it yet. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. We're giving away Strong in Battle, Why the Humble Will Prevail, Soul Care for the Battle, It's a Companion Journal, and the 10-pack of cards. I'm praying and believing they're going to get in the right hands at the right time. But no matter what, cultivate a heart of expectancy. Vitality will return to your heart, and I'm praying it returns to the body of Christ. Have a blessed and beautiful day. Amen. Somebody give me an amen. I'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of your support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player and never miss a show again.